With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble! Chelsea turned on the style and what forgot an impressive away win too. It's Monday 20th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Andy Brassel.
I'm Pete Donaldson. Wow.
Welcome, everybody. It's the start of the working week. What a way to begin, Andy Brassel, yeah. What
are you... Scatman John over there.
Pete Donaldson, usually Hello. On a Monday after your exploits on the weekend, you have a list of people to apologise to. Is that list growing as you get older?
No, I had a lovely weekend.
Uh-huh.
Some friends came down to Leon C. I drove them around. We went to the arcades, went on a roller coaster.
Oh, yes.
And then got drunk in the Pink Toothbrush, Raleigh's premier night spot.
The Pink Toothbrush?
The Pink Toothbrush, yeah.
I'm a pink tooth. No, I'm a blue toothbrush. You know that
have
one?
We met somewhere
before?
It's your favourite easy listening CD that you put on in the car.
What I put on an Andy's car when I'm getting driven around by him. Andy, what's the matter?
Andy's had a brilliant weekend. He's been in a hotel room watching BT and Sky at the same time.
Yeah. wondering why he's not on at least one of them. And yes, said television did end up on the pavement outside his hotel
window. Rock and roll. Less impact with a CRT, innit?
If there was a window in the room, that would have happened.
Yeah. Oh, right. It was one of those ones, was it? Yeah. Prison, ladies and gentlemen. Andy was in prison.
Andy's been to Boston. Boston Brassel.
Oh, dear. Well, maybe we'll touch on that later if we feel it important enough. But, gentlemen, let us start with the weekend's roundup with a great away win by those Chelsea boys. They joined Liverpool at the top of the table. They were great, especially in that second half, but of course Spurs were terrible. And Roy Keane uncharacteristically said, "I was angry watching Spurs today."
It was funny because I saw that at the top of the running order, yeah. And where it says Roy Keane, "I was angry watching Spurs today," I initially blinked that as Harry Kane, "I was angry watching Spurs today."
Yeah.
Because he did do a lot of watching.
He was a passenger.
Yes.
He was a passenger. Did you think, though, as you saw that line from Roy Keane, you thought, "Oh, well, what upset you, Roy?" Oh, it was just the performance, because normally it wouldn't take too much. But it was a tale of two halves, that one. I mean, Spurs, they weren't too bad in the first half, Peter. They contained a very talented Chelsea side, of course. And then, as Tuchel said, there were stern words at half-time. And quite clearly, those words had the desired effect.
Yeah, I wouldn't mess with Tuchel, who, as Andy stated before, has the capacity to fall out with a player or two. But I think I think it was the game management that they and the single-mindedness, let's say, that they showed against Arsenal when they went down to 10 men. Something needed to change. Let's bring Conte on.
that's the thing, Pete. A lot of people have said on social media how Tuchel's in-game management is second to none. I would argue he does have the squad to do that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. And it is like the James Bond car that turns into an amphibious version of the James Bond car. Like, oh, yeah, yeah, you think you're playing a football game against... Oh, Conte's coming on. One of the best midfielders ever.
Right, lads, that was a lot of energy.
And he's driving a mini.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. A lot of energy expels in that first half. Right, heads on. Oh, here comes Conte to run us ragged. Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, Marcos Alonso pillaging down the left side. Every time he on the highlights, he had the ball at his feet.
Yeah, it's weird that he's still at Chelsea.
There was talk that he might be moved on. This is what I find interesting when players, they say, "Oh, he might be moved on," or "I'm not sure." Obviously, that player will probably be aware of those rumours.
Yeah.
And yet, there he's fitting into this system at Chelsea. And the only thing that I would criticise about Chelsea's performance is they probably should have scored more. And that show tells the story. That it was 3-0, very convincing win. Probably should have been 5.
None of the goals scored by forwards.
Yeah. Yeah, and they can carry like players who just cannot hit the back of the net as well, which is very rare.
I mean, it was, it showed you the gulf in class. And that performance, the manner of that second half, the body language of those Chelsea players, when they got, as I say, the likes of Alonso on the ball, looking very confident, when they scored, the reaction of the fans and the players and altogether, that is a side who are very much European champions and who have got their eye on becoming English champions as well.
And who are playing against players like Lo Celso and Højbjerg, who are having terrible situations.
Well, Højbjerg, come on, it was great, you know, Euros with Denmark. I know that's a sort of a
distant
memory.
In this match, they were both dreadful, I thought.
Oh, yeah, no, they were dreadful, yeah.
The thing is, I think you look at the Tottenham team that went out there, and clearly they've had their issues with various South American players, as have other teams. Of course, Aston Villa this weekend, they didn't use that as an excuse. They started with Buendia on the bench and that they went out and had a pretty productive second half. But it's an unenviable first game for Christian Romero to go in. Mm-hmm. Having said that, on paper, I think you look at the team, you expect a lot better of them.
It was piss poor.
A lot better of them. They just fell to bits. I know it's very different situations. It's just like what happened at Palace last week, although that was in a far more condensed spell, and obviously they'd lost a man, as you pointed out when we were talking earlier about it, Marcus. But the fact that when they concede a goal, it all falls to shit is extremely worrying.
I mean, I do agree with that. And I think that the Palace example is important to bring in, because one can say, yeah, but when that Chelsea side go for you, yeah, of course. But Chelsea should have been, as I say, 5 or 6 winners, won by 5 or 6 goals. But the Palace example is important to bring that in and say, well, actually, here's another piece of evidence, damn it all. I mean, take Harry Kane, you mentioned him earlier there. The Optostat that really kind of shows what's going on is he's failed to score in his first 4 Premier League appearances of a season for the first time since 2015-16. Now, I know that there was always that thing about August and so on, even though we're into September now. So one might say, well, there's maybe not, but he's attempted just 4 shots.
in this current campaign.
I mean, that was the issue with Wolves last season.
And he's a man who likes
it?
A shot on goal.
He does. Wolves were not massively adventurous this last season, were
no.
they?
No, they weren't.
The football was really quite dull. And that would be a concern for me as a Tottenham fan, certainly.
Mm. With regards to Kane, though, Roy Keane said that, you know, maybe he should just knock someone open, which is...
Knock someone open.
I mean, how hard do you have to hit someone to knock them open?
That's Han Solo in the Hoth system, isn't it?
Possibly.
Emergency measures. I think you need at least three successive defeats before you get to, like, you know, nicking your mate's lightsaber and cutting open a smelly animal.
The thing is, though, with Keane, I know we sort of have a bit of a laugh about him and so on, and he does sort of play up to it a little bit. But when he says, you know, shout at people, sprint at people, get hold of the ball, I mean, there is something to be said for at least looking to try something.
Yeah, Marcus, you're right. There is something to be said for the sum total of your tactical analysis for every game you ever watch being, yeah, just get stuck in.
Just get stuck in, be harder.
Yeah. Be better.
Be stronger, be better.
Be better, yeah.
I preferred Martin Keown's.
Oh, what, assessment of Romelu Lukaku?
Yes.
Yeah, how to stop Romelu Lukaku. I mean, as I say, you know... It's not really the real quiz, but Spurs could say, well, he didn't score. We nullified
him. Kept him quiet, yeah.
Yeah, Keown said how to stop Romelu Lukaku. I would approach his ear and tell him that it is garbage, exaggerating, but today he is playing against me and he will not get the space he needs. Tell him I'm a little different from the rest and I'm going to make it difficult for you. So basically just
so
walk up
sexy.
To him. Walk up to him and go,
whispering, yeah. I'm different to the other boys.
And I would be wearing leather trousers while saying it.
I'm going to do this in Italian and Flemish and Lingala. I'm going to say it in all of them. The words you understand and your hairs are going to be standing up at the back of your neck and then we'll kiss.
Oh, you ain't felt nothing yet. I think Lukaku probably wouldn't be too worried about that if a defender was basically coming up to him going,
if you did say Lingala, I think he'd be surprised.
That would be very impressive. That would be impressive. Yeah, I think that would be that's the way to do it. I think I do definitely agree with that. But yeah, you know, an excellent win. But I mean, could Daniel Levy end up regretting not selling Kane if his performances don't improve, Peter? Because you know, astronomical fee, and then you see Kane's body language and so on. Wasn't the case for England. We've been brilliant against Poland, but obviously scored a great goal. Could you know, they could have got a lot of money for him.
Is it more about the mobility of players like Son at the moment? Coming off the back of an injury, I thought players just aren't performing in other positions, and Kane's just not getting the ball in the box, which is what he needs to do to get a shot on target.
But we know he drops deep for England. At the time for Spurs, it was kind of like, well, where are you playing? I don't know.
It was a poor performance all around. I don't think it necessarily starts and ends with Kane.
No, of course. But he's inevitably going to get highlighted.
It's not going to affect his transfer value at all. No. Is it? I mean, Spurs will still be able to knock him out for as much as they like next summer.
You're doing a Roy Keane. Exactly. They're going to knock him out That might take a few million off his transfer. We're going to sell Harry Kane. Yeah, he's just unconscious over there.
It's the only way to transport him.
It's like an elephant.
Unless you want to do him in that food freezing thing. I keep coming back to Han Solo, don't I?
I tell you what.
Carbonite. Put him in carbonite.
You and Charlie Kane would make a good team. Right, Charlie, let's knock him out and then we'll take him to the club. See, he should come round by the time we get there.
That would be a good reason for not scoring in August if you're suffering from hibernation sickness.
If you're coming out of cryogenic stasis. So sluggish.
It would be a very good reason indeed. What about Thiago Silva, Andy? Mm. Obviously got the first goal. That man, what is he, 37, very, very soon.
Yes, he is.
The desire and hunger that he still has to play at the top level and in a demanding league like the Premier League, as we know, where games are keenly fought every week. And I know that's a cliche, but it's a cliche for a reason. He's going to come up against a sterner opposition every week than he would say at PSG or something like that. It is quite remarkable.
It is, but at the same time...
He cares, he gets stuck in, knocks people
and
open.
The balls come in from high.
Exactly,
not unlike the Italian leagues and the French leagues.
He's not that far off 40. He's still dyeing his hair. He's forever young.
He's running up and down the steps at Stamford Bridge.
Absolutely right.
West End when he's injured.
Forgot to get his change from the bar.
Which are quite steep, it has to be said. But I think, obviously, he was going to be great for Chelsea because... He's always been one of those players, when he picks up those little injuries, he can not train for 6 weeks and play off memory. He can go straight back into the team and be fantastic, which I think is a big deal. I do think the other thing that we can sometimes overlook with any player is they are so easily fired by resentment. And him at the moment, he talked about it a couple of weeks ago, didn't he? He said when Paris Saint-Germain signed Sergio Ramos, I couldn't believe it because, you know, they said, oh, you're getting on a bit, we want to move on. They end up signing.
Bloody liars.
A super old centre back who's, well, he's still not played for PSG because he's too injured. and there's
standards.
Him. There's Thiago Silva having a super time in the Premier League.
Oh, he already won the Champions League. Stick that up your,
with Tommy
your
Tukes.
Eiffel Towers.
With Tommy Tukes as well.
Exactly. That's a lovely old job, isn't it?
It is.
We should mention the performance by Hugo Lloris. Mm-hmm. Who made a lot of good saves.
He needed to.
I just think that that performance will get forgotten.
It will.
Yeah, despite the three goals. Of course, gentlemen, at the start of the game, nice tribute to Jimmy Greaves, who passed away at the age of 81 recently. And of course, Greaves played for Chelsea and Tottenham Hotspur. There was a nice tribute to him on Match of the Day where, you know, it's incredible when you see someone like Alan Shearer, obviously fantastic goal scorer and so on, speak about Jimmy Greaves. And Shearer actually... He said, "I'm with regards to the stats, when they read out his goal-scoring records, Shearer was like, I'm laughing because those numbers are so good. Because it gets skewed sometimes when we think of Messi and Ronaldo being the standard. Yeah. You know, that's sort of freakish.
Is England goals no penalties?
Yeah, right.
They went on a run of like 50 matches where no penalties were awarded to England. Yeah. And he had to
do a lot to get a penalty back in those days. You had to literally knock someone open.
But he was fuming because he was like, I'm on pens and I'm not getting a penalty.
Yeah. I mean, his scoring record was absolutely phenomenal. I love that quote he said once upon a time when they were like, what's your secret, Jimmy? Because they tried to, they said on Match of the Day that he couldn't really explain how he would end up in those positions and was just such a great goal scorer. And it is that sort of muscle memory, as you're sort of saying with like Thiago Silva.
Yes.
And he just said, I get the ball, go as close as I can and I let rip.
But it's funny, when I was a kid and I was aware of Jimmy Greaves, it took me a while to work out what a great footballer he was, for a couple of reasons. One, because YouTube didn't exist.
No, sure, yeah.
And he was on TVM and he looked so different to the man he was as a footballer.
Well, the thing is, because he was someone, he was a great broadcaster and a very big part of my childhood experience. I mean, it's lovely hearing people who are older than me who have their memories of, even if it was the back end of watching Jimmy Greaves play for Spurs or whatever. But for me, it was going to the football on Saturday afternoons when I first started going regularly when I was like 10 or 11. And it was always Saint and Greavesy at lunchtime. Cheese and beans, toasted sandwiches, feeling hotter than the sun. It was amazing. But that they were so entertaining. They were so welcoming.
Yeah.
And they never really, despite the fact him and Ian St. John were two such incredible players. And I was lucky enough to work a few times with Ian St. John when I was a bit older. He's such a nice man. That they never had that sense of, we played the game at a high level and you didn't.
Former pros do.
They invited you in and made you feel part of it. And the way that Jimmy Greaves could have a laugh and take the piss out of himself whilst being a good analyst, that's an incredibly difficult balance to hit. And also, it kind of, when I found out what a great player he was, I was like, how can a player that great be so... I don't know.
Sort of humble,
just,
modest?
Yeah. I think so. And just not take himself seriously. Not take himself too seriously at all.
Well, that was funny. When they showed the clip on him last night, Match of the Day, when he said, Greaves said, I don't look back and think, and reminisce about the old days. And people say, I wish you could do it again. I'm like, I'm glad I don't have to do it again. You know, it's exhausting. Sort of thing, you know?
Some of the footage, though, of the goals going in, placement, power, it looked Shearer-esque. You know, Shearer was obviously
Greaves
came after him, obviously. Yeah. It was Greaves-esque. But there's very few footballers looking at footage from back in his kind of generation that you sort of go, oh, like, he has a lot. There's a lot of properties that kind of shared with footballers nowadays. We can actually just absolutely, like you say, let rip. But there were some incredible goals going in.
Oh, big time! Wow. Yeah, he'll be certainly missed. His other former club, of course, West Ham, will play Manchester United on the weekend. Huge drama at the end of that match with Manchester United winning 2-1. But West Ham had a chance, didn't they, Andy? There was a penalty and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Have you ever seen him that angry when he threw his water bottle on the ground after they were given the penalty?
Well, there is more space around the pitch at the London Stadium. So if you're going to find a safe place to do it, that's probably isn't it?
Was that what fueled his anger? I can't even see the decision. It's so far away. I can't tell.
Catch my reading spectacles.
Yeah. Mark Noble, of course, subbed on in the 95th minute to take the equalising penalty, which turned out not to be the equalising penalty after Luke Shaw's handball. And, of course, Dave the Save saved the day. His first penalty that he saved for 5 years outside of penalty shootouts. When I heard that, I was a bit like... noble. Not quite as confident as Ivan Toney with that lovely penalty for Brentford. But what did you make of that, Pete, bringing on...
If it works out, it's a genius move. If it doesn't, it's the worst thing in the world. That's the problem with like modern football and modern football chat, is that it's the worst thing ever. It's like... You got a good penalty taker coming off the bench and just simply putting the ball in the back of the net. Yeah. It didn't work. That sometimes doesn't happen.
But you're saying
David Moyes' reasoning for it, I thought, was absolutely spot on. It's impossible to argue with.
You're not asking him to like run 80 yards. I mean, you wouldn't ask Mark Noble to run 80 yards.
It was about 80 yards from the dugout to the penalty spot.
I liked his heat map.
He was knackered. Well, what was Moyes' reason then, Andy? Remind us all.
Well, he said, I've got one of the best takers in the Premier League, so... Why not bring him on?
I do find it funny, though, that talk of Jimmy Greaves, obviously, you know, didn't play in the World Cup final in 66 because you couldn't sub players on. You're saying he didn't get penalties for England. And he'd be brought on to take just take a penalty. I mean, the thing is, with that is when you say he's got the option, he does. But of course, if one of the players on the pitch takes the penalty and misses, then no one's going to say anything. Whereas if you bring on that, the taker
should Moyes be doing his job for public perception? No, he should be doing his job to get the best result.
And they're still going to be talking about it. It was the last minute of the game, you know, and they could have got it.
Yeah,
would it have been better if one of the existing players talking to penalties at the London Stadium had come up, tried to Panenka it, and just chipped it into De Gea's arms?
That would have been quite funny. Yeah, I'll be honest with you. But of course, Jesse Lingard was the man of the moment. He won it with a last minute beauty. He sort of did a muted goal celebration to begin with. The West Ham fans gave him a good reception, to be fair, and then eventually he made his way over to the Man United fans. And then there was a little bit of celebration.
There's a little Henman fist pump in there, wasn't there?
Which was glad, because I don't like that sort of, you know, apologise. I don't mind if he just does a muted celebration. Don't put your hands up and apologise. But when the Man United fans were there, he was like... Oh,
but
God.
For Jesse Lingard, a muted celebration is just putting your arm in the air like Alan Shearer.
That is true.
Isn't it?
Yeah. It's a lovely goal, Andy. Come on.
Well, the thing is,
it's
got
a lovely one.
I was on the train coming down to London while this match was going on.
How were the scenes on the train?
I caught up with it later. Well, there was some guys like sort of 10 seats along watching it. Because I could hear Martin Tyler chatting his way through it, and that was in the first half. But when I saw that Lingard had scored the winner, I wanted him to have done a big old celebration, and I was quite disappointed when I got to watching the end of the game.
Getting the cardboard cut out of Mikel Antonio, just snapping it in half.
I never loved you anyway, like Dimitri Payet. Never loved any of yous. After the match, he posted a photo of himself celebrating with his Manchester United teammates, and just put, "That's football. Thank you for your warm reception today."
That's what football do to you.
Oi, this is just business, lads.
Well, Ronaldo tried to sort of push him into a celebration, didn't he? Good celebration.
You bloody will celebrate if you're on my team. Bruno Fernandes responded to that post saying, "You deserve it, bro."
Oh, that's nice.
It is nice.
Yeah, it is very nice indeed. There was a number of appeals for penalties that weren't given. Suchek didn't get a pen when Wan-Bissaka took him out. And Ronaldo thought he should have had three penalties. I think it was three. It was three.
I would have given him one and three, but not two.
See, I'd have given him one and that's it. I'd have given him the first one.
Okay.
And that's it.
I would not like to be reffed by Marcus.
No. Why? Very strict.
No, I just don't like diving.
Not very generous.
Andy. I want there to be solid. I want that man to. I want to be a leg breaker. I'm like 1950s referee, mate. Yeah.
But I think Lingard in that kind of form, and also you can bring just Jadon Sancho on at any point. It's like, they should be beating West Ham with the lack of firepower up top for West Ham. They should be beating them way more than
that. That
than
is the thing. Got. It always goes back to what I find remarkable about United. There was so much discussion about Solskjaer and like a massive overreaction when they win and a massive overreaction when they lose. When maybe
that's
like
what Solskjaer said, he said everything's terrible or amazing.
But when maybe, like as Pete says, if you've got absolutely elite players throughout your squad, they will pull you out of some unpromising situations that really, on the balance of play, you don't deserve really to get out of.
Yeah.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, it's funny, Andy, because you're agreeing with Roy Keane, because he said everything's exaggerated with United. They beat Newcastle, everything's great. They lose during the week, it's a disaster.
They were actually quite poor at times against Newcastle.
They were. Newcastle should have scored more than one.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. But West Ham, though, just a quick word on them. Despite that loss, there's a confidence about this side. The stadium was bouncing. The on another day, they would have maybe got a point or something.
Zuma made everyone look very ordinary, I think.
He was great at the back, wasn't he? They're on for a good season. Mm. I don't think there's too much about that. Excellent. All right then, chaps. Let's have a break, and then we'll talk a little bit more Premier League and maybe even some MLS. See you in a moment.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. Like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week, there's been loads going on across Stack. Over on the Luke and Pete Show, I'm telling Luke about why my hairstyle has been bothering children.
Then she says, why have you got your hair like that?
Yeah.
Why have you got your hair in a ponytail? We've been told that we're not to talk to men who have ponytails.
Your parents. And
yeah, but that wasn't the parents. They didn't say that.
Right.
She'd just been told at school or something never to trust a man with a ponytail.
Meanwhile, the book club is back with a cracker on Football Ramble Presents. Kate and Jim were joined by Simon Cooper to talk about his new book, delving into the heart of Barcelona Football Club and what its legends were really like.
Johan Cruyff, in my humble opinion, he's the kind of Freud or Marx or Einstein of football. He invented modern football, but he was also a lunatic. Cruyff was a guy who walks into a room and says, you're doing it all wrong, you should do what I say.
Listen to the Luke and Pete Show and Football Ramble Presents every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, when we come to these places, you know, we are allowed to actually fight. We are allowed to actually try and win. That's all it was.
Not usually the managers, though.
No. We just a couple of things. I said nothing, absolutely nothing that should be out of the normal. It's just two managers fighting for their teams, wanting to win a game. There's nothing wrong with that.
Absolutely nothing wrong with that. Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Right, let's see what we got on Betway's Four to Score. Entry to Betway's Four to Score is free each week. Pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000 jackpot. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game. Further T's and C's apply. Game one, Aston Villa versus Everton. I picked Richarlison, which was foolish because I don't think he even featured. The result was Matty Cash. Game two, Brighton versus Leicester. Jim picked James Maddison. It was Neil Morpay. Game three, West Ham versus Manchester United. Pete, you picked Cristiano Ronaldo. He did score, but it was Saeed Benrahma who was credited with the first goal, of course. And in game four, Spurs versus Chelsea. Vish picked Mason Mount, and it was Thiago Silva. We'll be back for another round of Four to Score on the preview show this Friday. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails.
I'm allergic to them. Gone off my little jingle of you. Unbelievable. Right.
Is it harder when you get biffed the second time, Pete? You've got
something for us. Right, there you go.
I didn't want to make a jingle. You told me to.
Oh, by the way, can I just say it's a fine jingle and I am all for multiple Pete singing to me.
Right, okay, good.
Carry on.
I'll come round your house in the night. From David Craig on the pie front. I know Luke isn't a big fan of rugby, but when I was about 14, we finished a fairly bad-tempered rugby match and were treated to post-match pies and cans of Coke. I have no idea why the West Coast of Scotland has such bad rates of heart disease. One of our players, nicknamed Ferret, I can't be sure what his real name was assaulted with a steaming hot scotch pie. It was slammed into his ear and the hot pie fat dripped into his ear and damaged his eardrum. So there we go. Also, I was just listening to the episode where Marcus was laughing about Keggy hosting some meat industry awards thing. Oh, yeah. And I saw this headline in the papers the very next day. Meat set to run out in just 2 weeks and Christmas dinner is under threat and gas crisis. Is this just a coincidence?
Kevin King has ruined Christmas already.
Exactly.
Oh, dear. I mean, I know this government likes to deflect, you know, but that would be quite something. We've got to cancel Christmas.
Keggy's done this.
We've got one here from Samuli in Finland. Wanted to give a couple of extra bits to the recent topic of bizarre football injuries. Undoubtedly, the greatest Finnish footballer of all time, Jari Litmanen, that's right, was riddled with these. The most ridiculous one happened in 2006 when he was playing for Malmö in Sweden. Malmö's sporting director, Hasse Borg, was opening a bottle of soft drink with a tin of snus tobacco, very popular in the EFL these days. And the bottle cap hit Jari in the eye. He was sidelined for at least 2 months and the injury affects his vision to this day.
Bloody hell.
Oh, that's awful. Honourable mentions also to Jari falling over a suitcase in his home whilst fetching milk for his son and getting hit so hard in training with a shot that he suffered an ear injury while at Fulham.
Oh, flipping Nora.
You want good balance in that position as well, don't you?
I don't want to think of Jari Litmanen as some sort of footballing Frank Spencer.
Show off at ramble.com, everybody. Get involved. Right, back to the Premier League, gentlemen. Brighton got a good win against Leicester City, didn't they? They were helped a little bit by VAR, one could argue.
But a smashing header from Welbs.
Yes.
Good. What a header.
There's something about Danny Welbeck scoring goals, celebrating, looking happy that just warms the cockles.
It does. It's delightful.
Yeah, he's a
it's
wonderful.
Delightful. It's a great header as well.
Mm. Lovely header it was. Two, Brighton's first goal shouldn't have stood because Morpay was all over Vestergaard. How? Look.
You were outraged by this, weren't you?
The thing is with VAR, okay. Right. I think the way that they sort of do the way they implemented it in the Euros, we've seen it abroad because they've had a little bit longer playing with the buttons than we have in the Premier League. I think the quickness of how they make the decisions and so on and so forth it's improved. I don't think there's any doubt about that, and I think it's a good thing in football. But when there's a decision like that, you just think, like, how have you given that? Like, you shouldn't make that glaring error. I understand there's the whole, should you overturn it? It's one of those ones.
There's also the whole, there are 34 cameras in the stadium.
Yeah, but...
and you've got a good view on the normal broadcast one.
Yeah, exactly. But with regards to, say, that third Ronaldo one, I thought, did he go down too early? You're saying that doesn't matter.
It's something that you can discuss. This is not something that you can discuss.
Exactly. Yes. If you've given it, do you overturn it? Probably not. If you haven't given it, do you overturn it? Probably not. This is kind of like, he has fouled him. That has caused the handball. I understand it doesn't give you carte
blanche.
Neymar
did a better job on Sunday evening of winning a penalty by fouling a defender.
Yeah.
He's obviously had a look at Morpay and go, no, mate, this is how you do it.
That's how you do it. But that's where people just look at it and go, well, what's the point then? It was just such a poor decision.
Yeah. What's the point?
I think you're taking a piss, in the words of Roy Hodgson. But do you remember that interview?
Well, I think you are.
You're taking the piss. No, I'm not right. Well, I think you are. yes, but anyway, it should never have been in. But the penalty was dispatched. It was a goal. Welbeck 2-0, and they were out of sight, really.
At least there was no other VAR disappointment to come for Leicester.
Well, Jamie Vardy's 150th Leicester City goal, which is incredible, Andy, because it was only last season he was playing non-league. but yes, of course, there was two goals that Leicester scored, and Harvey Barnes, you know, if you're going to be offside half, that's the problem. What did you make it with then, Andy? Because you think both are questionable. I would say the first one I understand a bit more in the keeper's eye line. The second one, again, he is offside. What do you think?
He's not stood right in front of the goalkeeper for either of them.
You think it should have stood? Which one?
I think both of them could have stood.
Both of them?
Yeah.
All right.
Everything's in the keeper's eye line if he's got eyes.
Yeah, I mean, that is...
That's what I would use as a defence.
Yeah, but I was behind him. Get behind the... You've got to get round the back, as John Barnes won.
What we are saying is Sanchez has excellent, excellent peripheral vision for both of those, aren't we?
Yeah.
Absolutely right. But it's the third loss in five games for Leicester. Not great. Not great, but you back brother Brendy to sort it out, though.
Yeah, I mean, they're a little bit unfortunate there. Mm. I mean, they absolutely pummeled Brighton in that second half.
True enough, true enough. A great win for Brighton, though.
Yeah, fantastic.
They're looking good. They're feeling sexy.
Did you see Jules took her dad?
Yeah, she did.
Oh. It was lovely.
Yeah.
Got a nice moustache.
Her father.
Yes.
Yeah. No, you,
I can admire a dad's moustache, can't
no,
I?
No, you can, yeah. It was one of those ones where I thought, did he? And it was one of those ones, you know, like we mentioned before. Does Jules' dad have a moustache? Is that a thing? And I was like, oh, yeah, no, he did. Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. No, lovely. Lovely scenes.
You like to see it.
All round in Brighton, unless, of course, you are a Leicester City fan. Watford got an impressive win at Norwich. 3-1, they won. There's some big topics for Daniel Farker to discuss. He's the first manager to lose 15 consecutive matches in the English top flight.
That's a lot, isn't it? That is a lot, isn't
it? I understand that there's a season in between.
Can't blame the fixture computer on that.
You can't. Did you see him, though, I felt he was trying to get one over Cisco before the game.
Right.
He did a handshake, although it was one of the... what would you call that kind of
like
handshake?
Like a half kind of hand up, curved kind of...
Yeah, exactly. He was doing that, and Cisco was like, okay. And then he pulled him quite close. And he was obviously saying, oh, you're very welcome, but it was a power play.
Right,
like,
okay.
Forget Chiellini at the Euros during the penalties. This was like, he really...
leaned in and went, you're not going to get that much space this time.
You're in the topic.
And Cisco was kind of like, yeah, cool. Yeah. Can I go now, please? Is that all right?
I very much enjoyed Dennis's flip.
Oh, what a goal that was!
It's a celebration. There's a lovely picture where there's just the depth of field isn't that shallow, so you can see the crowd behind giving him the fingers and getting really annoyed. Yeah. But he's just upside down, just having a lovely time. It's such a good picture.
Yeah, that's class.
Beautiful.
It was Peter Beagrie-esque, that celebration, wasn't it? It was a brilliant goal, that, because the way he moved his body and the way he was in the air, in my mind, it was sort of a bit William Shatner, Family Guy. You know, he was kind of at such an angle, and yet it wasn't a diving header.
No.
And he sort of landed on his feet. I mean,
it's like he's really comfortable up there.
Yeah.
I'm just up there now.
You know, like Soles, when he would hang in the air.
Yeah. Waiting for the ball to come down.
Hanging in the air at that angle. I know he sort of did bump into the defender. I was like, how is he not? That's like some sort of Jedi trick or something. Yeah. That was a phenomenal header. It really was. But the first Sarr goal for Watford, it was too easy, Andy. Like, you think about it, when he nipped into the space, there's three defenders, or at least Norwich players, around him, just to sort of nip in at the front post and just side foot it home. Great goal from his point of view. But you look at Norwich and you think, blimey, that's soft.
Yeah, both
against a fellow promoted side.
Both his goals. Were the finishes of a high-class player against not entirely switched-on opposition.
Yeah.
It's like that bit, you know, when you play FIFA and it invites you to brush up on a couple of skills for like sort of particular areas of the game before you start, like a shooting drill or a slalom drill.
Mm-hmm.
It was a bit like that.
Yeah,
it felt like a drill for an excellent player, which he fully took advantage of.
I know people are talking a lot about the fixtures, and obviously that's going to be a big part of it. But
they've had a tough They've
had a tough start with the fixture computer. But, I mean, they've come out of this, and they should be, all right, getting their season up and running a little bit. But they just looked a little bit shell-shocked, didn't they? They looked very disorganized.
I mean, I think one of the big problems with Norwich, I mean, I've seen a lot of stuff said and written about, well, you know, they shouldn't even be in the Premier League because, you know, they're not even making an effort to be in it. I mean, they've been out and signed players that
Who gave that opinion, Andy? Because that was I don't think people are saying.
A lot of people have said that. A lot of people have said that they're sort of demeaning the Premier League by not taking it seriously enough and not spending $300 million on players.
They retained all their players because when they went down, that's how they got back up again because of COVID.
Yeah. Well, of course they did sell Buendia, but I think you have to look at the fact A, they got a very good price for him, and B, they've gone out and spent proper money on players who are quality players and can be quality players. I think Milot Rashica, Ozan Kabak, but because they're Norwich City, they're getting them at a time when they've had a difficult time. Mm. Because if Milot Rashica is playing his best for the last couple of years, Norwich don't get a sniff. If Ozan Kabak is playing his best for the last 6 months, he's probably still at Liverpool. Mm-hmm. So
you've got to sign scoundrels, as Alan Pardew once said about Newcastle. You've got to sign scoundrels when you're in their position.
You've got to sign scoundrels, and they've got to go out on the town with me on a Saturday night.
I was going to say waifs and strays, but if you want to make it a little bit more seedy, that is your corner of the ramble, and I'm never going to take it away from you.
Mate. I think that's...
sit on my knee.
Right now, you've got to do it now, very quickly.
I do think... All right, ladies and gentlemen, just a second. I do think... You're never going to get time when you've lost this many Premier League games in a row. But Norwich deserve a little bit of time because I think that squad will...
Farke will get time. They've lost five on the bounce. The problem for Farke is that we've seen this before with Norwich. And I admire the spirit of trying to do it, but that, you know, they'll probably pass Fulham on the way down. Do you know what I mean? And the two of them will sort of yo-yo as they tend to do.
What you're aiming for eventually is Burnley, isn't it? You squirrel away all the cash.
Maybe Leeds or something. But yeah, exactly. That's what you wanted to be established side. But the problem, though, for Norwich is if this continues, they're going to have to make a painful decision with Daniel Farke. And to be honest with you...
Oh, they're going to have to Wagner him.
Did I say Wagner? Farke?
I said, are they going to have to Wagner him?
Oh, I see what you mean. Well, I don't know, Andy. And I won't ask for your interpretation of that verb you've just used.
But, to love.
But I mean, it would be quite tricky if you're the chairman and Daniel Farke's there. How do you sack him? I mean, you behind sort of bulletproof glass, maybe. I don't know. But Farke said last week after the defeat to Arsenal, we are disappointed. Football is about being efficient and putting points on the table. You don't get points for beautiful football. For that, I do synchronised swimming. Strange topic.
We're not getting beautiful football either at the moment.
No, we're not. I hope it works out for them because, as I say, I admire what he's trying to do. But the problem is, it's that from the Championship, where you're winning every week or at least picking up a lot of wins, to the Premier League, how can you sort of manage that? And on the evidence of the season they were up under him, and so far, it's not getting the balance. But, and that he had, that everyone has their shelf life, and I'm worried.
I think if you look at Watford, one win here or there makes an enormous difference if you're in that position. No one's expecting you to win 15 games a season if you're Norwich or Watford, are they? But I think...
No, of course not. They've got to win some.
That is an absolutely vital win for Watford, because if you get one win every night, you know, six or seven games, you're golden.
Well, it was an important win for Watford. They lost three on the spin. And then the way they took Norwich apart, it shows you that if given an opportunity, they will take it.
They're another team with the players to get better.
Totally.
I would say Watford.
Yeah. Are you liking Ben Foster in goal, chaps? Do you see his interview after?
Oh, it's marvellous.
Where he's 38 years old, and he was like, I'm absolutely loving it. And he said, what did he say? Something like, I go cycling all the time because, well, I love my food. Who doesn't love their food, you know?
Yeah. I do like his YouTube. There's very few grown-up YouTubers out there, and he just seems like a nice... Just block.
It's nice when that happens, doesn't it? Because we've known Ben Foster for many, many years, of course. You know, he'll be
on Saturday night television, no doubt, pretty soon. He'll be like the new righty or something.
Exactly. And will you take us with you, Ben? We'd appreciate that. No, lovely. Good win for Watford. Well done to them. Of course, those two got promoted from the Championship last season, didn't they, Andy? And that's where we go now.
Segue.
Nice. Lovely. Smashing.
How good is that? In the Championship, they also play football, and that's where we're going now. Win for Derby County. A win for Derby County. Sadly, that is not the only story coming from that club at the moment.
I mean, after their weekend, if you're Derby and you're still getting mentioned in the Championship section, there's really no argument with that. That's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, indeed. Mel Morris, of course, gave a lengthy statement on Friday and said he had no choice as Derby County have appointed administrators, which is a 12-point deduction. That's the standard kind of thing. They've tried to sell the club over the last few years. It's not materialised. They're saying that obviously the pandemic has cost them a lot of money, up to 20 million in revenue. I'm sure it has. You know, the pandemic hit a lot of clubs very hard, of course. But yes, I mean, they're facing that 12-point deduction going into administration, potentially another 9-point deduction based on other ongoing EFL investigations. They also have a suspended 3-point deduction. So all in all, it could be 24 points. And Rooney is saying, you know, like if that all comes to pass, he's saying we might start just have to prepare for life in League One. I mean, we're still in September.
Yeah, and you'd almost be like, what is the point in us doing any of this? Yeah. What is the point? Why do we even fulfill our fixtures at this point? It's ridiculous.
Well, that's it. And that's where, you know, a lot of players will obviously, well, a number of them will probably want to move away.
It's the sort of thing you see at the end of the season usually, rather than the start. And you're
completely
like,
yes.
I mean, it's such a regrettable situation at Derby County. You know, there's so much going on there.
It is a regrettable situation, but I think some of those other teams that were in the mix for staying up last season will probably... I mean, I feel very sorry for Derby supporters. They've had to put up with a lot. Mm-hmm. But there are teams who are battling with them to stay up last season who will think, well, you know, where was that decision like 4 or 5 months, months ago?
It's crazy with Derby because it wasn't that long ago. They didn't play our finals in on the cusp of being in the Premier League. And they know this and they won't want to be reminded of that. But it just shows you how, you know, on a knife edge all this sort of financial stuff in football can be. I did see that former Manchester City executive chairman Gary Cook had been in talks with the club since January with the intention of helping American financiers MSD take over the club, but they're concerned about the club's off-field problems. And I thought, oh, Gary Cook, you remember him? Man City?
Yes.
Do you remember he said he was going to get Kaká, went over there, and that didn't happen? When he was at the Man City, it was at some presentation or something, he referred to the club as Manchester United. And I thought, oh, if he's in, oh dear. Oh, Derby, we do feel for you. We really, really do. At the other end of the table, Bournemouth replaced Fulham at the top of the Championship, won 1-0 away in Cardiff, still unbeaten in 8 matches. Scott Parker's doing very, very well. He said before the match, Peter, he said that he asked his players to be brave.
Please be brave.
Please be brave.
Why can't you be brave for me?
Be brave for Scotty. Put that on a scarf. Are you going to be brave for Scotty?
Are you going to be brave today?
Could be more brave boys, more brave soldiers.
I love that. I asked my players to be brave. Excellent. Fulham lost 2-1 at home to Reading.
Yeah.
How was that? Ovie with a couple of beauties for Reading. You can't argue too much with that. I saw Forest got their first win 2-0 at Huddersfield after the sack Chris Hughton on Thursday.
Another no manager bounce.
Absolutely. You've got that. Now what do you do with it, Forest? Well, let's not get a manager in and see if the bounce continues. But it's all happening in the Championship, of course. So incredible. Oh, yes, by the way, talking to Fulham, a few listeners sent some photos on Twitter of different men in the stands at Craven Cottage. I sadly wasn't one of them. One of them, though, spotted reading a Kindle.
Nice, look.
You know what I mean? Something to do at half time, isn't it? Crying out loud.
No glare either, so.
My favourite one, though, was a man with a Victoria sponge cake on the seat and he was just cutting it up into...
So,
wasn't.
There are questions.
What?
Yeah.
How I didn't see this.
On the old wooden seats, he was there. He had the cake on the actual seat.
An entire
seat.
Victorian...
So, yeah, and he was there just sort of cutting it up.
How'd you get the knife in?
Yeah, how'd you get the knife in?
I think he might have had a... I need to, maybe.
Was he karate chopping it?
Yeah, absolutely.
He using dental floss.
It was his razor sharp wit that he was cutting it up with. I think it was a plastic knife. We'll give the benefit of the doubt there. But you're absolutely right. Maybe that steward at Spurs, maybe he...
Pat them down.
Maybe he's now got a job at Fulham.
The Father and the Son of the Holy Spirit business.
Yeah. Exactly it. No, there's nothing wrong with the security at Fulham, I assure you. You'll be very safe if you go there. You might get a piece of Victoria sponge. That's an absolute result, that, I think.
Look, it's great way of making friends.
Absolutely right.
You turn up with a Victoria sponge, you're going to be everybody's buddy.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. Stark contrast to the guy reading a Kindle. Get involved in, you know, the chat at half time. What's going on? What's the matter with you? Deary me. Right, I did say a little of MLS. Let's go to the United States of America. Some of you got in touch with me. Yes, I was aware that Inter Miami lost 4-0 to New York Red Bulls. I mean, for crying out loud, you can't win every cup final. Do you know what I mean? They've won loads. He's turned the ship around. Yeah, and they were down to 10 men after 38 minutes, so... You know, that's fine. Sometimes it's need a reality check. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I think
keep them straight and narrow, isn't it?
Keep them humble.
They're
keep them humble.
Grace of God. Yeah.
It's okay, though, because a bit of this, Pete Donaldson. Fizzer and David Beckham have sons. This we know.
Whoa.
They both played together for Fort Lauderdale last night.
I mean, are we doing Newcastle Leeds today? No, we're going to do the Sons, the Sons of the Beckham and the Fizzer. Now, that's what we're doing, is it?
If right. that doesn't get you an architect from Alan Saint-Maximin, I don't know what will. I mean,
I don't care if you were at the game, Andy.
Andy was at the game. Andy was at the Newcastle game.
We've moved on. We're talking about we are talking about something more important that is Inter Miami's reserve team.
You know it is.
To be honest, Marcus, I don't disagree with that point, to be quite frank.
Some would say, Marcus, that since I pointed out that Inter Miami tracksuit bottoms are available at a certain high street budget retail.
You are into it.
That you have pursued a vendetta to and beyond its logical conclusion.
Oh dear, Andy. Be honest with me. Would you have rather have seen
Fort Lauderdale against
whoever they played, or even Romeo Beckham making his debut in a tour draw for South Georgia with South Georgia and Tormenta FC, or would you have rather seen the draw at St James's Park?
Really, it's when you get to the end of the sentence and you tell me that it was a 2-2 draw with South Georgia Tormenta.
Yeah.
Then I'm into it.
Yeah, absolutely right. Yeah. Absolutely right. Yeah. And by the way, gentlemen, before we go, we got an email apparently from Jonathan Bond, as in Los Angeles Galaxy goalkeeper. Jonathan Bond.
Right.
He emailed us just to say, you know, thanks for the show and all. And he said he swapped the glamorous morning commutes to Reading, Peterborough and West Bromwich for the sunnier pastures of Los Angeles, which is understandable, I suppose. Mm. But the daily soundtrack of the ramble to and from training still remains.
Could we have a bit of proof? Because
I'm not sure if it's him.
Why do you not believe it's Jonathan?
His email address was Bondi42069.
That's not what his email address was.
So is it a similar principle to...
I understand it would be odd if someone was impersonating Jonathan Bond and getting
in touch. It does happen. A friend of mine
used
to tell girls that he was a session guitarist for KT Tunstall to impress
wow.
them.
Did it have the design effect?
He said, well, you can't go in there and say you're a fighter pilot or whatever, can you?
Well, to be fair, I don't think anybody's going to walk into a bar and go, oh yeah, I emailed the Ramble, I'm Jonathan Bond. I'm the guy who...
Doesn't KT Tunstall quite notably use a lot of loop pedals? So he's completely redundant. Doesn't need a backing band. She'll just do her own stuff.
Yeah, that's true.
He wouldn't have got anywhere with you, would he, Craig?
Wait a second.
LA Galaxy do need a goalkeeper, though.
Yes.
So we just want a bit more proof,
just
Jonathan.
Just bring it on. Look, we did this about 5 years ago. We sort of got people to get in touch if they played any level of the sport.
And he never got
professionally.
In touch, did he?
He didn't get in touch, so maybe he's just a recent convert. But if you are playing league football for one of the big 25 leagues.
Let's extend that to 30.
Shutthefootballramble.com.
Yeah, exactly.
Shutthefootballramble.com. Shutthefootballramble.com. Put my jingle on.
If you've got some.
If you play league football.
Shutthefootballramble.com. Right.
Ooh. There we are.
There you go.
That's it. This is it. The guy gets in touch with us. Oh, by the way, guys, I'm playing for Los Angeles.
We're like,
who are you? Prove it.
Well, no, we need proof. Anybody could say that they're listening and they're not really listening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, you're not talking about their identity. You're talking about whether they're listening or not.
that's a strange. No, I'm talking about the identity.
Yeah. I want to know if anyone's playing. We had a State of the Nation 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I think we had one league player get in touch, but... Mm-hmm. We want to know what's happening now. If you're playing any kind of professional sport, let us know.
Yeah, exactly.
This is
with a bit of proof.
With a bit of proof.
Poor old John Bond, eh?
Interesting way of making friends with Hector Bellerin.
What do you mean? Like, as in, does he...
Well, just by flushing him out as a ramble listener.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he definitely listens. No, I don't know.
No, I don't know. He's got...
Probably some of the fancy ones, isn't he?
Let's finish on that note.
These are the ones that sound good.
The ones that talk about Newcastle United and Steve Bruce.
That's what I'm going to listen to next.
Andy, you've been to the stadium. We just want to know if you are now...
Do you think it's crumbling, Andy? Do you think it's crumbling?
Just want to know if you are now under the spell of Mike Ashley. Just quickly, Bruce in or out?
Oh, I think we all know the answer to that.
Oh, very diplomatic.
Oh, very Mike
Friends
Ashley
in the
is.
Media.
Not
to
quite.
Not extend to Andy, no friends, Brassel.
Yeah, exactly. Not quite the same chat that Chris Sutton said when he was a bit like, he's not going to turn around the fans there, he might as well just go.
It's funny, when you do sit in the media seats at St James's Park, which are very close behind the back of the benches.
Yeah. Getting further back, I imagine. Bruce's relationship with the media disintegrates.
You do get the full sense of, yeah, he gets a lot. He gets a lot. It can't be comfortable.
No. But he, well, to be honest, he's got to concentrate on that because his coaches are doing the seems to be doing all the managing on the day.
They're busy, aren't they?
They're busy. They're the ones doing all the talking to the players. Oh, can I, before we chip off, I've not been on a show since last week.
Yeah.
And because that's how weekends work.
Yeah.
And I went to see Southend play Aldershot last week, right?
Oh, yeah.
Now,
I've seen the shots before.
Off, just after half time. Southend with dross, absolute dross. Mm. Big Brown.
Big Phil Brown
not having a great time down there. But the ball went on the biggest stand. It got booted onto the roof of the biggest stand, right?
Yeah.
And I was watching it. Mm. It started to come down.
Yeah.
It's starting to descend.
It's better end with you bicycle kicking.
And I'm watching it, and the linesman's there with a big baldy bounce, and the ball just bounced straight off his fucking head. And I punched the air, and yes, and the quality of times was quite poor. But I mean, some of the football was very, very good. But I looked in the highlights at three different places, and this was not on the highlights. That's if ball. Anyone's got footage of the ball coming off the roof. Mm. In the East Stand, I think it was, at Southend, and bouncing on the linesman's head, I would very much like to see it, okay? Yep. That is my quest. Mm-hmm. Someone's got the footage.
That is my quest, to follow that footage.
Shortfootramble.com, please.
Absolutely.
Thank
right,
you.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's up there with England paper aeroplanes.
Paper aeroplanes,
you want to hit that Peruvian
player.
Oh, magnificent.
Just wonderful.
Superb.
Fantastic.
Super. Right then, everybody, on tomorrow's show, it's Kate, Vish and Jim. So do not miss that. Until then, thank you very much, Andy Brassel.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete Donaldson.
Goodbye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
You're quite a crumbly man, I'd say. You're like a croissant. You're like a croissant. You're like a bit of marzipan.
Marzipan's not crumbly. It's secondly, greasy. You just ate a croissant.
I did. It was delicious.
I'm not going to eat a croissant in Andy's car.
Would you not? No, what would you? Lunch. What food would you eat in Andy's car? Let me know right now. A big sausage.
Nutella.
Nutella.
Okay.
Smear all over there.
No crumbs in that, is there?
No, there aren't.
Right.
No. He's got terrible peanut allergies, though. So.
Is he?
He has some allergies.
Sort of plow into the hot shoulder.
His face like a big pillow.
We had a very pleasant meal in the nice town of Amiens. Yeah, that one.
Nice. Yeah. What did you eat? Egg and chips twice.
Yeah, I think it was. Because they give such small portions. I had a toasted cheese and ham sandwich. Fried, please.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously,
man. Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, and join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.